Whispers echo across Æthelgard's damp stone halls of a monstrous duke demanding a royal mate. Yet destiny dictates he bypass velvet-clad princesses for a scarred servant hiding in shadows. Passion defies logic when a feral king claims a shattered soul, igniting a brutal war that tears an entire kingdom apart. According to the sealed ledgers of Oakhaven, the winter of 1482 was the coldest recorded in a century. It was also the year the Ashford lineage fundamentally changed the course of Lycan history. Lord Caelan Ashford, Duke of the Northern Reaches, was not merely a nobleman. He was the alpha of the largest Lycan territory in the known realm. Feared by mortals and revered by his kind, Caelan was a beast bound by the velvet constraints of high society, standing well over 6 feet tall with piercing amber eyes and a reputation for ruthless efficiency on the battlefield. He was the ultimate prize for any high-born family seeking power. Yet his pack was growing restless. Tradition dictated that an alpha must take a mate by his 30th winter to stabilize his feral instincts and secure the pack's future. To satisfy the council, the grandest event of the decade was organized, the solstice selection. Every prominent family sent their daughters. Carriages bearing the crests of House Hawthorne, the Whitmores, and the proud Croft lineage arrived at the iron gates of Ashford Manor. Among the hopefuls was Lady Beatrice Hawthorne, a woman of unparalleled beauty and cunning, who had long considered herself the unspoken queen of the Northern Reaches. She paraded through the grand halls in silks, spun with silver, her scent meticulously masked with imported jasmines to appeal to the alpha's heightened senses. Far beneath the gilded ballrooms in the damp, smoke-filled kitchens of the manor lived a reality entirely divorced from the opulence above. Isadora Locke was a shadow. Once a captive of a border skirmish, she had been sold into servitude to the Ashford estate. But Isadora carried more than the invisible chains of a slave. She bore a gruesome mark. A thick, raised burn scar slashed across the left side of her face, stretching from her temple down to her jawbone. The disfigurement made her a pariah even among the servants. The head housekeeper, Mrs. Gable, relegated Isadora to the darkest corners of the scullery, forbidding her from stepping foot where the high-born guests might lay eyes on her cursed visage. But fate, as chronicled in the private diaries of Maester Godwin, has a cruel sense of humor. On the night of the selection, a sickness swept through the lower staff. Desperate for hands to serve the hundreds of aristocrats demanding wine and roasted meats, Mrs. Gable had no choice. She shoved a heavy silver platter into Isadora's trembling hands. "Keep your head down. Let your hair fall over that wretched cheek," Mrs. Gable hissed, her nails digging into Isadora's shoulder. "If you offend the Alpha's guests, I will throw you to the hounds." The great hall was a sensory overload of roaring hearths, perfumed sweat, and the sharp, anxious pheromones of dozens of Lycan nobility vying for attention. At the head of the room sat Caelan Ashford. He looked thoroughly bored. His amber eyes swept over the sea of vibrant gowns and painted faces with a terrifying indifference. Lady Beatrice stood near his dais, laughing at a joke made by Lord Reginald Croft, positioning herself as the inevitable victor of the night. Isadora slipped through the crowd, like a ghost, her gaze fixed firmly on the polished marble floor. She distributed goblets of spiced wine, terrified of drawing attention. Then it happened. Lord Croft, stepping backward in a drunken boast, collided squarely with Isadora. The silver platter crashed to the floor. Crystal goblets shattered, sending dark red wine spilling across the pristine stone. Silence slammed into the great hall. The music screeched to a halt. "You clumsy, wretched creature!" Lord Croft roared, raising a heavy ringed hand to strike her. Isadora fell to her knees, raising her arms to shield herself, her coarse hair falling back to reveal the horrific burn scarring her face. Gasps rippled through the nobility. Lady Beatrice curled her lip in undisguised disgust, but the blow never landed. A low, guttural growl vibrated through the floorboards. It was a sound so primal, so entirely devoid of human restraint, that even the most hardened Lycan lords took a step back. Caelan Ashford was on his feet. The boredom had vanished from his eyes, replaced by a terrifying, dilated darkness. His chest heaved as he inhaled deeply, his nostrils flaring. He wasn't looking at the shattered glass, nor at Lord Croft. His gaze was locked entirely on the trembling servant girl on the floor. Underneath the smell of lye soap sweat and spilled wine, Caelan's wolf had caught a scent. It was subtle, buried beneath years of grime and fear, but to his Lycan senses, it was an explosion of frost pine and wild lightning. It was the scent of a soul perfectly attuned to his own. Mate. The word echoed in Caelan's mind, drowning out the murmurs of the court. He stepped down from the dais. The crowd parted for him, as though he were a god of war descended from the heavens. Lord Croft stammered, "My liege, forgive this unsightly intrusion. I will have the guards remove this beastly—" "Silence!" Caelan commanded his voice, a rumbling tremor that rattled the chandeliers. He knelt amidst the shattered glass. The fearsome Alpha, the ruler who had executed traitors without blinking, reached out a large, battle-scarred hand. Isadora flinched, squeezing her eyes shut, waiting for death. Instead, she felt the warm, rough pad of his thumb gently trace the edge of her scarred cheek. Caelan leaned in, burying his face in the crook of her neck, inhaling deeply. A possessive rumble tore from his throat. "My lord," Lady Beatrice whispered, her voice trembling with a mix of shock and rising fury. "What are you doing?" Caelan stood, lifting Isadora effortlessly into his arms. The slave girl was frozen, in sheer terror, clutching his velvet tunic. He turned to face the stunned assembly, his amber eyes blazing with an unholy protective fire. "The selection is over," Caelan announced, his voice echoing with absolute finality. "I have found my Luna." The aftermath of the solstice selection was nothing short of political cataclysm. To the Lycan Council, an Alpha choosing a human slave, a disfigured one at that, over a highborn Lycan female, was a direct insult to their traditions. Within hours, the private correspondence of the nobility was ablaze with whispers of madness, witchcraft, and rebellion. Isadora found herself thrust from the damp, freezing scullery into the sprawling, fire-warmed expanse of the Alpha's private chambers. The bed was larger than the entire room she used to share with six other servants. She sat on the edge of a velvet chaise, trembling violently, her mind unable to process the reality of her situation. The heavy oak doors opened, and Caelan entered. He had stripped off his formal doublet, wearing only a loose linen shirt and dark trousers. The terrifying aura of the Alpha had receded, replaced by a cautious, almost painful tenderness as he looked at her. "You are shaking," he observed softly, keeping his distance to avoid startling her further. "I am I to be punished, my lord?" Isadora stammered, her voice hoarse from years of silence. "I did not mean to drop the tray, I swear it." Caelan closed his eyes, a flicker of pain crossing his features. "You are not here to be punished, Isadora. You are here because you are mine. My mate." "I am a slave," she whispered, touching her scarred cheek instinctively. "And I am broken." "You are perfection to me," Caelan replied, taking a slow step forward. He knelt before her, just as he had in the great hall. Lycan biology does not care for titles, nor does it care for scars. "My wolf recognized your soul. From this night forward, no one will ever raise a hand to you again. That is my vow." While Caelan sought to soothe his terrified mate, a darker plot was brewing in the eastern wing of the manor. Lady Beatrice Hawthorne paced furiously in the chambers of Lord Reginald Croft. "It is an abomination," she hissed, hurling a crystal goblet into the fireplace. "He humiliated me for a marked kitchen rat. The pack will lose all respect for House Ashford. He makes a mockery of our bloodlines." Lord Croft poured himself a measure of brandy, his eyes dark with calculation. "The council will not accept a human Luna. They will tolerate this madness only until they realize she cannot bear lichen pups. But why wait for nature to take its course?" Beatrice stopped pacing, looking at Croft. "You suggest treason." "I suggest pest control," Croft replied coldly. "If the girl were to meet an unfortunate end, a tragic accident before the mating ceremony is finalized, Caelan's wolf would grieve, yes. But he would survive. And he would still need a royal bride." 3 nights later, Caelan was summoned to the northern borders to deal with a rogue lichen citing a false flag orchestrated by Croft's loyalists. He left Isadora under the protection of his personal guard, but the sprawling Ashford Manor had too many secret passages built into its ancient walls. Isadora was alone in the Alpha's chambers, drawing a brush through her hair, marveling at the softness of the bristles. She still expected to wake up on the straw mattress of the scullery. A faint click echoed from the shadows. The heavy tapestry covering the southern wall shifted, and 2 men stepped into the room. They wore no colors, their faces hidden behind dark leather cowls, but the unsheathed silver blades in their hands gleamed in the firelight. Isadora backed away, her heart hammering against her ribs. "Guards!" she screamed, but the thick stone walls swallowed her voice. One of the assassins lunged his blade slicing through the air. Isadora instinctively threw up her arm. The silver blade slashed deeply across her forearm. Pain erupted, blinding and white hot. Isadora collapsed against the vanity blood, pooling on the Persian rug. The assassin raised his blade for the killing blow. But something inexplicable happened. As the silver entered her bloodstream, a violent, suppressed energy detonated within Isadora. It was a sensation she hadn't felt since she was a child, a memory buried under years of trauma and the agonizing burn on her face. Her eyes, usually a dull, frightened brown, suddenly flashed a brilliant luminescent silver. A feral snarl ripped from Isadora's throat, a sound no human could ever produce. The assassin froze, confusion flashing in his eyes. In that microsecond, Isadora moved with supernatural speed, driving her shoulder into the man's chest and sending him crashing through the heavy oak door into the corridor. The noise alerted the estate guards. Shouts echoed down the hall. The second assassin, realizing the mission was compromised, fled back through the secret passage. When the guards burst into the room, they found Isadora huddled in the corner, clutching her arm. By the time Caelan arrived, riding his stallion to the point of exhaustion, after realizing the border skirmish was a decoy, the manor was on high alert. He tore into the room, his eyes frantic. "Isadora." He found her sitting on the bed, Maester Godwin standing over her with a look of absolute bewilderment. "She was attacked, my lord," Maester Godwin whispered, holding up the blood-soaked sleeve of Isadora's gown, "with a silver blade. But look." Caelan knelt beside her, gently taking her arm. He braced himself to see a mangled, poisoned wound. Instead, beneath the blood, the skin was rapidly knitting itself back together. The deadly silver, which should have festered and burned, was being pushed out by her body's own cellular regeneration. "This is impossible," Caelan murmured. You are human." Isadora looked up, tears streaming down her face, her eyes still flickering with residual silver light. I don't know what I am." Caelan's gaze shifted to the burned scar on her face. He reached out his mind, connecting pieces of a puzzle that had been lost to history. He pressed his fingers against the thick scar tissue. "Meister," Kaelin said, his voice terrifyingly calm. "Bring me the ancient ledgers, the ones detailing the purge of the Winterborn clan." "Zodderuwa." "My lord, the Winterborns have been extinct for 20 years, Godwin protested. "They were slaughtered by the southern kings." "Not all of them," Kaelin said, staring intently at the specific crescent shape hidden within Isadora's burn, a scar deliberately inflicted to melt away a royal birthmark. Her face wasn't scarred as a punishment. It was scarred to hide her identity. Kaelin looked into the terrified eyes of the woman he claimed as a slave, realizing he had just bonded himself to the lost heir of the most powerful Lycan bloodline in history. According to the Chronicles of Saint-Gilles, a heavily guarded manuscript locked away in the Vatican's secret archives, the Winterborn clan was not merely a noble Lycan family. They were the original monarchs of the Lycan race. For centuries, they ruled with an inherent unmatched power, distinguished by their silver eyes and unparalleled strength. But in the autumn of 1462, a coalition of lesser lords, driven by jealousy and a thirst for power, staged a brutal coup known as the Night of Ash. The Winterborns were seemingly eradicated, their estates burned to the ground, and their legacy violently erased from the history books. In the dim flickering candlelight of Kaelin Ashford's private study, Meister Godwin unrolled a crumbling parchment detailing the anatomical records of the Winterborn royals. The Royal Crescent. Meister Godwin whispered, his hands trembling, as he pointed to an intricate illustration of a birthmark shaped like a waning moon interwoven with a frost rose. It was said to appear on the left cheek of the true heir, a genetic marker of the silver wolf. Kaelin stood by the fireplace, his amber eyes fixed on the flames. He thought of Isadora, currently sleeping in his massive bed, recovering from the assassin's silver blade. The horrific raised burn that dominated her face was not an accident of a careless scullery maid, nor a punishment from a cruel master. It was a desperate act of preservation. "Her mother did it," Kaelin realized, his voice dropping to a dangerous, terrifying register. "During the Night of Ash, her mother pressed a searing iron to the child's face to melt the birthmark to hide her identity from the slaughter." Godwin swallowed hard. "My lord, if the surviving lords who orchestrated the Night of Ash discover that a Winterborn still draws breath, they will not stop at a single assassin. They will unite the entire Eastern and Southern packs. They will bring a siege to Ashford Manor that we cannot survive." "Let them come," Kaelin snarled, his wolf pushing to the surface. "They will find an alpha ready to paint the snow with their blood." In the days that followed the assassination attempt, a profound transformation overtook Isadora. Liberated from the toxic scullery food which Kaelin discovered had been laced with trace amounts of wolf's bane to suppress the servant's energies, her latent lichen physiology rapidly awakened. The deep gash on her arm disappeared without a trace. Her posture, once perpetually hunched in submission, began to straighten, revealing a naturally regal bearing. Most startling were her eyes. The dull, muddy brown, fractured and dissolved, revealing irises of brilliant, luminescent silver. Kaelin spent every waking moment by her side, guiding her through the terrifying, exhilarating process of her awakening. He taught her how to ground her heightened senses, how to breathe through the sensory overload of a manor filled with shifting loyalties and whispered treasons. In the safety of his private training quarters, he witnessed her raw ancestral strength. Isadora could splinter a solid oak training dummy with a single strike, a feat that left even the seasoned alpha in awe. Yet as their mate bond deepened into an unbreakable soulful intimacy, the political machinery of Æthelgard turned against them. Lady Beatrice Hawthorne, seething from her rejection, had joined forces with Lord Reginald Croft. Leveraging the whispered rumors of the attack in Kaelin's chambers, they successfully rallied the Council of Elders. They intercepted ravens and bribed couriers, painting Kaelin as an alpha, driven mad by a cursed human, unfit to lead the northern reaches. On the eve of the winter's first major blizzard, a heavy parchment, sealed with the black wax of the High Council, was delivered to Ashford Manor. It was an invocation of the Lex Lycania, the ancient law of ascendancy. They are demanding a formal trial. Kaelin told Isadora, his jaw tight as he read the missive. Croft has formally challenged my right to rule. He claims I have broken the sacred bloodlines by attempting to mate with a human slave. Isadora looked at the parchment, her silver eyes glowing in the low light. She reached up her fingers, grazing the scarred tissue of her cheek. The timid, broken girl who had dropped the wine platter was entirely gone, replaced by a woman who felt the ancient dormant power of her ancestors rising in her veins. "Then we will give them a trial," Isadora said quietly, her voice resonating with an otherworldly harmonic depth. "But they will not be judging a slave, Kaelin. They will be judging their queen." The rite of ascendancy was set for the night of the Blood Moon, an astrological event that historically heightened lycan aggression to a fever pitch. The grand courtyard of Ashford Manor was transformed into an ancient gladiatorial arena. Thousands of lycans from neighboring territories gathered their breath, pluming in the freezing air, their eyes glowing in the darkness. The Council of Elders sat upon a raised platform of obsidian stone, watching with severe, judgmental expressions. Lord Reginald Croft stepped into the center of the arena. He was a mountain of muscle, his chest bare, despite the bitter cold, his forearms wrapped in heavy leather grips. He carried a massive broadsword, its steel gleaming ominously under the red light of the moon. Beside the elders stood Lady Beatrice Hawthorne, a smirk of anticipated triumph playing on her crimson lips. The heavy iron gates on the opposite side of the courtyard groaned open. Kaelin Ashford emerged. He wore no armor, only simple dark trousers, relying entirely on his lycan speed and feral strength. The crowd roared a chaotic mix of loyal cheers and treasonous jeers, but it was the figure walking beside him that silenced the thousands of lycans. Isadora wore a gown of deep crimson silk, tailored to perfection, flowing behind her like a river of blood against the white snow. Her hair was swept back intentionally, exposing the brutal burn scar on her cheek. She did not hide. She walked with a terrifying absolute grace, her silver eyes sweeping over the crowd with the weight of an empire. Lord Croft sneered. "You bring your pet to watch you die, Kaelin. How sentimental." "I bring my Luna to watch me cleanse my court of traitors," Kaelin replied, his voice a lethal echoing rumble. The High Elder struck a bronze gong. The trial had begun. Croft lunged with astonishing speed for a man of his size. The clash was instantaneous and brutal. Kaelin dodged the heavy broadsword, delivering a devastating blow to Croft's ribs. The sound of cracking bone echoed through the courtyard. Kaelin was faster, stronger, and driven by the protective fury of his mate. He systematically dismantled Croft's defenses, preparing to force a submission. But history is written by the cunning, not just the strong. As Kaelin moved in to disarm him, Croft twisted his wrist, pressing a hidden spring within his leather grip. A secondary concealed dagger shot out from his gauntlet. Kaelin ducked, but the blade grazed his shoulder. It was a mere scratch, but the effect was immediate and catastrophic. Kaelin stumbled, his vision blurring. His knees hit the freezing cobblestones. A dark, unnatural vein of black poison began to spiderweb from the wound up his neck. "Wolfsbane?" Isadora screamed, realizing the treachery. "Concentrated hemlock and silver-laced wolfsbane." The crowd erupted in outrage, but the elders remained silent, frozen by the sudden turn of events, or perhaps complicit in the assassination plot. Croft raised his broad sword high above the paralyzed Alpha, laughing triumphantly. The Ashford rain ends tonight. Before the blade could fall, a sound ripped through the courtyard, a sonic boom of raw, displaced energy. Isadora vaulted over the stone barricade, moving faster than the eye could track. She did not draw a weapon. She slammed into Lord Croft with the force of a falling meteor, sending the massive man flying 50 feet backward into a stone pillar. The broadsword shattered upon impact. Silence descended on the arena like a suffocating blanket. Isadora stood between the bleeding Kaelin and the treacherous lord. The winter wind whipped her crimson gown wildly. Under the light of the blood moon, the residual magic binding her scar began to fracture. The scarred tissue on her cheek literally began to peel and burn away, with a radiant, blinding white light revealing the pristine skin beneath. And there, etched flawlessly into her cheekbone, glowed the luminescent silver mark of the crescent moon, and the frost rose. The royal crescent. Gasps tore through the ranks of the nobility. The High Elder stood up, his ancient hands shaking so violently he dropped his staff. By the gods! The Winterborn! Lord Croft, coughing blood, struggled to his knees. Kill her! He screamed to his guards. She is an abomination. Kill the witch! But no one moved. Isadora's eyes blazed like twin stars. She let out a roar, not the roar of a simple wolf, but the ancestral earth-shattering call of the Silver Monarch. The sheer dominance of her aura forced every lichen in the courtyard to their knees. The gravitational pull of her bloodline commanded absolute biological submission. Even Lady Beatrice Hawthorne collapsed to the snow, whimpering, her grand ambitions crushed under the weight of true royalty. Isadora approached Croft, who was now pinned to the ground by his own inescapable instinct to submit to the Winterborn blood. You orchestrated the Night of Ash. Isadora spoke, her voice echoing in the minds of everyone present. You slaughtered my family. You tortured my mate. You have poisoned the honor of Ethelgard. With a swift, merciless strike, fueled by generations of vengeance, Isadora ended the Croft lineage. She turned back to Kaelin, her terrifying aura melting into desperate affection. She knelt beside him, pressing her glowing silver hand to his poisoned wound. The pure, uncorrupted royal magic in her blood neutralized the wolfsbane, pulling the black venom from his veins. Kaelin gasped, his lungs filling with the freezing air, his amber eyes locking onto the magnificent, unscarred face of his mate. The High Elder slowly descended the obsidian steps. With trembling reverence, he knelt in the snow before Isadora, bowing his head to the frozen earth. All hail the Luna of Ethelgard, the Elder rasped. All hail the Queen of the Silver Wolves. One by one, thousands of lichens repeated the vow, their voices rising into the night sky, a unified chorus honoring the slave who had returned to claim her stolen throne. Lady Beatrice was stripped of her titles and banished to the freezing wastelands, a fitting punishment for a woman who valued a crown over honor. Under the reign of Alpha Kylan and Queen Isadora, Ethelgard entered a golden age, proving to history that a broken soul, when loved fiercely, can heal to conquer the world. The legend of the scarred slave, who became the fiercest Lycan queen, still echoes through Ethelgard. Her story proves that true royalty lies not in unblemished skin, but within an unbroken spirit. If Isadora and Kaelin's breathtaking tale of defying destiny, breaking chains and conquering a kingdom, captivated your heart, please hit that like button, share this epic romance with your friends, and do not forget to subscribe to our channel for more unforgettable, thrilling historical fantasy stories every week.